From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The U.S. says he's a global terrorist and last year authorized his capture or killing. Now there's word that the American-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki is dead. Yemeni security officials say al-Awlaki was killed in an air raid in eastern Yemen today, along with four other suspected al-Qaeda members. NPR's Peter Kenyon in Istanbul says if al-Awlaki's death is confirmed, it would be a blow to al-Qaeda.
It's believed that he met with at least two of the 9/11 hijackers. Some of them listen to his sermons. He's a very charismatic preacher with perfect English and was considered initially a very motivational speaker and inspirational figure in al-Qaeda. Later, U.S. counterterrorism officials believe he was made operational, as they put it, and began to take a more active role in planning attacks.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Istanbul. Pakistani officials say three suspected militants are dead after a U.S. drone strike. They say the drone aircraft fired several missiles at a car today in South Waziristan near the Afghan border. The Obama administration is condemning an attack on the U.S. ambassador to Syria. NPR Scott Horsley reports Ambassador Robert Ford's convoy was attacked by pro-government demonstrators during a visit to an opposition leader.
Supporters of Syria's government hurled rocks and tomatoes at the U.S. convoy while Ambassador Ford was meeting with an opposition figure in Damascus. The ambassador was not hurt in the attack. White House spokesman Jay Carney called the incident unwarranted and unjustifiable.
This is clearly a part of an ongoing campaign to intimidate and threaten diplomats attempting to bear witness to the brutality of the Assad regime.
Ford is serving as U.S. ambassador to Syria on a recess appointment after Senate Republicans objected to his nomination. Carney urged lawmakers to show support for Ford's work in a sometimes dangerous situation by confirming him to the ambassador's post. Scott Horsley, NPR News. The White House.
Time's running out for a giant physics machine near Chicago. NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports that scientists will shut off the famous Tevatron later this afternoon.
At a national facility called Fermilab, the Tevatron runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It sends tiny bits of atoms whizzing through a tunnel that's 4 miles around. The subatomic particles accelerate to nearly the speed of light, then smash together. Scientists sift through the debris to probe the building blocks of the universe. For about a quarter of a century, the Tevatron was the most powerful machine of its kind. But Europe recently fired up an even bigger particle accelerator, so the Tevatron is now obsolete. Officials will shut it down during a short ceremony. They plan to open up the tunnel to the public as a kind of museum to show off the place where scientists discovered things like the top quark. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
This is NPR News. A federal judge is ordering the state of Texas not to implement its political redistricting plans until the courts decide on whether the plans discriminate against minorities. From Member Station KUT in Austin, Mose Bouchel reports.
A group of Democratic politicians and civil rights activists had sued the state over the plan, which redrew congressional and state legislative districts. The U.S. Department of Justice has also come out against the redistricting, saying it would diminish the voting power of minorities. The court order will stop Texas from implementing the plan until it gets court approval. The new political map for Texas was supposed to be implemented on October 1st. For NPR News, I'm Mose Bouchel in Austin.
The Colorado Court of Appeals has ruled that election ballots, once cast, are public documents subject to the state's Open Records Act. Aspen Public Radio's Roger Adams has more on what prompted the ruling.
One-time Aspen mayoral candidate Marilyn Marks lost the 2009 election. She asked to see the ballots and was denied by the city clerk. The city argued ballots are secret under Colorado's Constitution. The Court of Appeals ruled otherwise, saying only the identity of voters must remain secret. Marks's attorney, Rob McGuire, says the result will be more confidence in elections.
This decision really is a victory for the public because the people here in Colorado have a right to verify their elections. They have a right to know that the government they're choosing is the government they've chosen.
Colorado's Secretary of State says new rules for clerks statewide must now be drafted. For NPR News, I'm Roger Adams in Aspen.
Opponents of Ohio's new election law shortening the state's early voting period is on temporary hold. It had been due to go into effect today, but opponents submitted thousands of signatures as part of their effort to get it repealed. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.